Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, March 7th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy OA Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy, Tim, Ma, Boyan, Geddes.
Have you played Princess Peach's Showtime yet?
I have not. Have
Neither
you?
Have I, but I saw the demo came out. Really excited about it.
Yeah?
Can't wait to get my hands on it. Maybe tonight. I think tonight that might be my little...
I will say, treat. I saw somebody tweeting about it, and they were like, okay, this seems like it's aimed towards kids. Seems like more of a kids game.
Fair.
Which, honestly, yeah, fair, but not necessarily what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, oh, am I even going to try it out?
Yeah.
I might wait for the Tim Geddes impression.
Okay.
I think you might be the one to put me on this game or make me skip it.
Am I on Games Daily tomorrow? I think I am.
Let's see. Games Daily tomorrow is the question.
Oh, that's a big question. Me and you are?
Oh,
me and
you are? Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm going to try to play it tonight, and I will report back.
Now, I want you to report right now about one thing.
I will.
I've been seeing some discourse online.
Oh.
Chadley?
Yeah.
Are you pro-Chadley, anti-Chadley?
Look.
Baird is anti.
Can I say neither? Like, he doesn't bother me enough.
Pick a side.
If I had to pick a side, he's fine, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like,
Chadley centrist over here.
Yeah.
Chadley centrist.
Kind of where I'm at. Because the thing about Chadley is his function, I adore. I love the little VR battles. I love the way they use it for the summons. Like, that stuff's cool. Cool. Him asking me to go explore the world and all that stuff, I like it. I'm a big exploring.
I don't need him to check in with me every fucking
That's
time
my
I
beef.
Do a thing, though.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's just something, and this is not a critique of the performance or any sort of way, but there's just something about how he talks where I just don't fucking trust him.
It's punchable, right?
That's what it is. I get it. They get the dorkiest kid ever to check in with you every 2 seconds in that game.
Yeah.
And if it was somebody else. Like, if it was somebody who was like Barrett. Like, not real. I mean, real Barrett is great too. But if it was like video game Barrett that was checking in with you every 2 seconds, is like, whoa, have you done the thing? Like, that's how Barrett talks to me. If he was like checking in, I'll be like, all right, Barrett's kind of cool. But it's the fact that it's fucking Chadley.
I mean,
this fucking child.
I'm
with
so
glasses.
You're making a lot of sense. He's this fake little dude, right? Right? But here's the thing with him is you're right. Everything you're saying adds up. But his name's Chadley. I'm like, I feel like it takes a lot of balls to name a character Chadley and have him be this character. I respect the choices.
And my thing is when they first reintroduce him, because I do the thing, they give you the option to be like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
And I did that because I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And I was like, oh yeah, he's in the last
one. Oh yeah, he's that dork.
But when they first reintroduce him, I'm like, oh yeah, I love the character design in this game. Look at this little fucking dork. I'm Chadley. His name is Chadley. Like, at first I'm like, that's fucking hilarious. And then the 30th time he calls me up after I fucking collect some loot at a pond, like, Chadley, leave me the fuck alone.
Be cool,
right?
Bro.
Yeah, like, you don't need to call me every 2 seconds.
Creeping. A little too hard.
There are some moments that it works of him being just a little weird goober who's a robot made by Hojo, right? Is his whole backstory.
Is that real? I thought it was a real kid this whole time.
No, he's a robot.
Was that last game? Was that,
yeah.
Is that the ending of this game?
There's like the slums underneath the gold saucer, and he's like trying to be incognito, and that's all I'll really say about that. But that's like, he's got his moments, but those are very few and far between, you know?
Hojo's a sicko. Why is Hojo making Chadley?
Hojo be fucked up, man. The crazy thing about Final Fantasy VII, the remake and rebirth side of it all, is like there's so many iconic characters from the original, and then they add new characters. And I do love that you can't really tell who's new and who's old. Like, this is the beginning of Rebirth, but when you first start the game, you're in Nibelheim, and then you meet Tifa's, like, boxing trainer or, like, fighting trainer, and it's the most epic intro for this guy that's just, like, so over the top and such a character, but doesn't really have much to do with anything. But it's like, oh, he had a couple lines in the original. Here he is again, you know?
Yeah.
And then you put it next to Chadley. You put it next to, what's his name? Roche?
Oh, yeah. Roche, was he not in the
original? No. Roche
is the You're lying.
No, dude. Not
You're lying.
Yeah.
Why is he so important?
And he's so important, and I love
because
it. Because
he's
the balance,
cool as
dude.
Shit.
You can't have
he
someone
shows up so
that
much.
Cool without having someone as lame as Chadley to balance it out, okay?
Roche being a new character blows my mind, because yeah. I would have assumed he was one of the main characters in the last game. That's really funny. Tim, we're spending time here, right? Mm-hmm. I do have a couple of more things I want to talk to you about. I have finished Penny's Big Breakaway.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. That game is awesome.
Hell
yeah. That game is cool.
Oh, my God. I knew you'd come around.
Yeah.
I knew it.
You were absolutely right, where the deeper you get into that game, the more you understand what it's going for. And it is like, I totally understand the vision here. I can tell that it's one of those games where I'm like, I don't think this is for everybody, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely not.
I don't
but
think
it's for us.
But it's for us. Like, if you're somebody who is a 3D platforming sicko, if you're somebody who likes both Mario and Sonic, it's that game. Like, it is them merging the things that make those games great, right? In terms of the locomotion of Sonic, in terms of, like, the momentum of it, but then also, the tool set of a 3D Mario.
The design and, like, care and love of a Mario.
Yeah, like, it's those two things put together, and I got really hooked on it over the weekend, and like yesterday I was at my desk, I was waiting for Greg to finish the thing so we could do a meeting, and I was like, okay, what do I do with my time? And I was like, you know what, it's time, let's finish this thing up. Put that on my main screen, put some Tim Rogers on my second screen.
Oh, what an experience. Yeah. You're just thriving out here.
So that's first and foremost. Secondly, I've been watching the show called Shogun. Have you watched Shogun?
Oh my God, if y'all aren't watching Shogun, you gotta watch it. It's on Hulu the day after it's on FX. I've been saying this for a long time. FX.
Goated.
Best kept secret.
Yes.
Right?
Goated.
Apple TV, best kept secret. If people are like, oh, there's too many streaming services or whatever, you can get rid of all of them. Find a way to get FX, Hulu's a good answer, and Apple TV. They be coming out with banger after banger.
Dude.
And FX right now, the fact that Shogun is the type of show that it is and it's as good as it is, the cast that it has, I still haven't seen episode 3.
I've also not seen episode 3.
But yet. Episodes 1 and 2 are absolute bangers.
I was not expecting to get as into it as I am, but after finishing episode 2, because I started watching it as a way to get hype for Rise of the Ronin, since that's around the corner. And also, like, you know, I feel like there's a lot of samurai stuff and, like, a lot of games coming out soon, right? You got the Assassin's Creed Red that's rumored to be coming out this year. Ghost of Tsushima 2 is going to come out eventually, right? So I'm like, oh, let me watch a show. Let me get something to put me in the mood for Rise of the Ronin. Whew. Finished episode 2. I'm like, yo,
I'm in the mood.
This is a
baby.
TV show. Like, this is a show right here. So yeah, Shogun is sick. Mm-hmm. I hope we get to talk more about it. But for now, Tim, let's talk about today's stories, which include our live reactions to that new Fallout trailer, BAFTA Game Award nominees, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, the XCast reaction to yesterday's Xbox Partner Preview is up, with a new podcast episode accompanying it. That's up over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. A Hovasapien, that's a human that loves Jay-Z, right?
Love you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've been holding it.
I also love that shirt. This is my second favorite shirt that you own.
Oh, thank you.
My favorite one is, I think it might be your profile picture, but the really colorful one.
Oh, yeah, that's my profile picture on Twitter. I thought you were going to say the XCast sweatshirt, because that's my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic, too. Yeah, I know. Your profile picture one? You do not wear this nearly enough, but I also get...
Yeah, I gotta save it.
You gotta save it. It's a moment.
I was wearing that for my birthday. I gotta save that for the special occasion.
Your birthday suit.
Today, brought to you by Shady Rays and BetterHelp, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Starting with our number one. A trailer went live this morning. It is the Fallout Amazon TV show trailer. I've not watched it.
I've not watched it.
Tim's not watched it. We're going to watch it right now. Barry, you can bring it up.
Well, that was cool.
Hello there.
Is that my guy?
I'm here to show you.
Is that Walton? It is.
He's Goggin. Whoa. That was cool.
A veritable Camelot. The nuclear age. Not made by God Almighty, but the working man.
Can you turn it up just a little bit?
You can be a hero by purchasing a residence in a Vault-Tec vault today. Because if the worst should happen tomorrow, the world is going to need you to build a better day after.
I like this. We're getting shots at the wasteland.
The mission of the vaults should be important to everyone. To come up to the surface one day and restart civilization.
Interesting.
Can you tell me what's happened in the last 200 years?
Holy shit. You're an actual vault dweller.
I am.
I thought all you dipshits were dead.
What you're doing is insane.
I don't.
Oh, they're doing the song.
It isn't like the vault out there. It's big.
This looks like a TV show. It doesn't look like a YouTube fan film.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a rough week. Practically every person I've met up here has tried to kill me.
I'm simply going to harvest your organs.
You need to go home. You come from a world of rules, of laws. You should not be alone.
Brotherhood of Steel.
Why did you join the Brotherhood?
To hurt the people who hurt me.
People are going to come after you.
That dog meat.
Ain't much stays clean up here, Vaulty.
Vaulty.
Oh, the fucking gore. Let's go.
Well, now that is a very small drop in a very, very large bucket of drugs. Look out at this wasteland.
Epic version of the song.
Chaos. Yeah. But there's always somebody behind the wheel.
The town getting blown up. The Metaton action. Oh, they have the fucking bear. I forget what they call it. There's a name for it. It's like Yao something.
What is happening here?
Everyone wants to save
Yao Gui. Thank you, chat.
So disagree on how.
There you are, you little killer.
Hell yeah. This looks
We're
awesome.
We're in the era, man.
Yeah. I mean, Fallout
All
is
All episodes
such...
at once, god damn it.
Oh, you don't love that?
No, I hate that.
I'm kind of with you. Like, I kind of would have liked the week-to-week conversation around it. I do appreciate that part of TV, but also, it coming out at the same time means I'm just going to binge it all in one weekend, and that's going to be a really good weekend.
People can talk about it for one weekend and then never again. But that looks awesome. Like, this looks very, very, very impressive. I am very happy that in this era of the streaming wars and where we're at, we're still getting great video game adaptations. I've never played Fallout. I'm not a Fallout guy. This seems to be nailing every single thing I've ever seen from a Fallout, and it seems very genuine. Is that right?
I would agree with that. I can't wait to see what you think, like, after watching the show, because I could see why you wouldn't be into the Fallout game, just knowing who you are as a gamer, right? Like, open world isn't necessarily your favorite thing.
Yeah.
Well, like, unless it really works for a franchise you love, right? But I think the world of Fallout might vibe with you. Like, it's weird, it's quirky, but it's also very interesting and fun.
I love the dichotomy between the vault and the outside. And, like, I know that's, like, the big thing, the big reveal of the moment of them leaving. But even just seeing it presented this way, like, they're doing a good job. And, like, I love the colors and, like, the bright blue and yellow contrasted against the, like, drab scary of the outside. Like, they got a lot going on here. Fun cast, the jokes hit. Like, everything about this, I'm like, I'm digging the vibe for sure.
Yeah, and they seem to be, like, setting up, like, Walton Goggins with, like, him being the, what do they call him?
Ghoul.
Like a ghoul. Like, yeah. Giving him backstory of seemingly being someone who existed before the bombs dropped. That's good, like. There's just gonna
I really wonder
really
what they're
good shit here
gonna do with that. Because Chad, do ghouls just live longer? Because the bomb, what it would have been hundreds of years.
Yeah, she says like two, like what's happened in the last 200 years or whatever.
Yeah, so is that a deal with ghouls or like what's the deal with that? Chad, let me know. Somebody in Inter Metal says yes. Owen Jesus says yes. And so that's I really like that idea that he's somebody who was there before and then like witnessed just the transformation of the world. Yeah.
Also, sound design. I want to shout out, like, in the like very early parts, you hear like a little bit of like the ticking, and that's like the radiation detector. Of like what the game tells you of like, oh, you're about to get into some radiation, like you're about to get into some danger and shit. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah. I appreciate the hole in the chest when he shoots the guy, because that is very great. Like, Fallout is very gory in that way. So even to capture that in the TV show, I think is really cool. And yeah, my thing with it is, you know, you talk about where we're at with TV shows and just video game adaptations in general and how we're in such a good place. Fallout is one of those ones where I think it was, no pun intended, like prime for an adaptation. Like, it's one of those things where, like, that the world of Fallout is so fun. It's so cool. It's so, like, enjoyable to be in. And I, like, a TV show sounds like a slam dunk for Fallout compared to so many other video game franchises that do have adaptations announced, right? Like, this is one that I would expect to hit, and I'm happy that it's in the right hands, because what, it's Jonathan Nolan, who's done Westworld before, who's worked with Christopher Nolan on his stuff, right? And yeah, like, scene to scene, everything we're seeing looks cool. The Brotherhood of Steel looks cool, looks accurate, right? Like,
the, I mean, power suits awesome. Look the cool. The costumes look amazing. The design of the mech armor, whatever the hell it is, looks very authentic to the statue we had at IGN for many years. So they nailed it there. What's up with dog meat? Is that every dog's name, or is that a specific dog's
name? No, it's kind of like, I was going to say Epona, right, from Zelda. It's one of those things that, like, any dog you
say
meet.
Say that name again.
Epona? Epona?
Epona.
Okay. Epona. Wait, did you guys not do Epona? I could have sworn I've heard you say Epona before.
Definitely not.
No?
It's Epona.
You could not catch me ever saying Epona.
Really? I could have sworn I heard somebody in this office say Epona. But yeah, it's kind of like an Epona, or like, the dogs are different. But people just name it dog meat. Like, the default name is dog meat.
Got it.
So people just name it dog meat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, this looks rad. I saw Jake Stepp in the chat saying that they're a huge Fallout fan and that this looks great to them. And, like, it seems like the chat's into this, too. Like, that's awesome. Like, good job, y'all. They nailed it. And Amazon Prime, they've had some hits, man. Like, the teams that brought you, The Boys and Invincible. And which, by the way, both are coming back.
Oh, when's Invincible?
Next week.
Soon? Is it really?
Next week.
Oh, let's go. Yeah. We're eating. Let's move on to story number two. The BAFTA Game Awards 2024 nominations have been announced. This is Chris Scolian at Video Games Chronicle. The nominations for the BAFTA Game Awards 2024 have been announced.
Who announced them?
Oh, man. Lucy James and a crew of panelists, including your boy.
Your boy, baby.
I was up at 4:45 a.m. this morning. An ungodly hour, a time that I didn't know existed, Tim.
Yeah.
I woke up and I was like, oh, shit, I didn't know the clock could strike this hour. And yeah, like, we went online, we talked through all the nominees. It was a very fun time. Shout out to the BAFTAs for hitting me up for that. And yeah, it aired at 6 a.m. So, like, the call time was at, like, what, 5:30? At 5:30. And so, oh, man. Oh, am I feeling it right now? No, thanks to this coffee. Thanks to this coffee, everybody. Marvel Spider-Man 2 leads the pack with nominations in 9 separate categories. Other big scorers are Alan Wake 2 with nominations in 8 categories, Baldur's Gate 3 with nominations in 8 categories, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom with 7. All 4 games are nominated for the Best Game Award, along with Dave the Diver and Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I do have the full nominations list here. I want to pick out some categories that stick out. They have the EE Player's Choice, which is like the crowd picks for a game of the year. It's picked by a panel of judges, right? But the crowd will vote. On there, you have Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk 2077, Fortnite, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Lethal Company, and Marvel Spider-Man 2.
Lethal Company, fun to see there, right?
Yeah. Like,
look at that compared to the rest of the games on the list.
I mean, Fortnite, very fascinating to see there.
I mean, hey, players like the game, right? And they keep getting content there. It's like, this is a conversation we've had a lot, but, like, how do you talk about a game that is not a brand new release, but has as much new content in it, if not more, than any new release coming out. You know,
especially,
I mean,
a game that is now releasing new games in it. When you look at the Fortnite Music Festival, and then also, like, Lego Fortnite and stuff like that, right? The Rocket Racing.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, how do we?
That's Fortnite.
Yeah, that's Fortnite, right? So how do we categorize that? So yeah, I can see why it would be in there. We got British game, Cassette Beasts, Dead Island 2, Disney Illusion Island, Let's Go, Football Manager 2024, Viewfinder, and Warhammer Age of Sigmar, Realms of the Ruin. For best narrative, they got Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Dredge, Final Fantasy 16, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Tears of the Kingdom for best narrative, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's one of those things where, it's very simple, and it's
powerful,
not,
though.
It's powerful. It really is. And it's like, I like that things don't need to be the most, like, the script is an entire freaking Bible of things. You know what I mean? It's like, cool. There's a narrative there.
Yeah. I was doing a stream a few days ago of me ranking, like, my top 100 games. And I got to the top 2, and it was a conversation with myself about Breath of the Wild versus Tears of the Kingdom. Are they both in my top 2? If they are, which one's my number 1?
Where'd
you
land?
Tears of the Kingdom, number 1.
What about Breath of the Wild?
Number 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I did the thing. I think those are my 2 favorite games of all time right now.
I think that I have to I go with Tears.
Yeah.
And I think it means Breath of the Wild. It's not on my list. I feel like
really
the experience to me, like I understand that like nothing will ever be like that first time playing the Switch and the whole adventure, but Tears of the Kingdom upped it so much for me. And like I enjoyed it even more to a level that I'm like, I can't find a reason to want to go back to Breath of the Wild ever again.
See, for me, nothing will ever hit like that first time of playing Breath of the Wild. Like Breath of the Wild might still be my best gaming experience of all time. You know, like I getting to know that Hyrule for the first time, like first discovering where Kakariko Village is, or getting to Death Mountain, or getting pretty much like any location in that game, my first time getting there, it's like, well, this is cool. Like this is such an experience. Whereas Tears of the Kingdom, it was the fact of, man, there's so many technically cool things in this game when you're talking about the systems of being able to build things, being able to fly, being able to go up in the sky, below ground, all that stuff. But the thing that really pushed me over for, I think this is my number one, is the fact that the story is very powerful.
Yeah.
I like the story so much more than Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild was one of those ones where I'm like, all right, it's a good to great story, but I'm way more invested in the gameplay here. Whereas Tears of the Kingdom had moments that got me emotional.
Yep.
Right. I think of the ending of Tears of the Kingdom, obviously no spoilers, but come on, man.
Yeah.
That like reveals in the, oh man. Like even the flashbacks, which was one of the main things I didn't love about Breath of the Wild, the flashbacks in Tears of the Kingdom were so good by comparison.
I agree.
That I'm like, man, I can't not put this above it. Moving on.
You know what's funny? I just want to say when we think about the moments you talk about, like seeing Kakariko Village for the first time in Death Mountain, thinking about the two games as a whole, one of the moments that sticks with me the most is the first time you drop down into the depths and you hear that sound effect of the like the that terrified me in this way that I never expected to feel that emotion from a Zelda game. And it's that will always, I feel like 30 years from now, I'm going to still remember the first time I did that.
Hell yeah. We got technical achievement. The nominees are Alan Wake 2, Final Fantasy 16, Horizon Call of the Mountain, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, Marvel Spider-Man 2, and Starfield.
Great list of games for this category.
Yep.
You know, and I'm also very appreciative that this category exists because I feel like this is some of the stuff that I care about a lot in games. You look at Spider-Man 2, the fast travel system, the way that they use the DualSense and the haptics, so damn impressive. Tears of the Kingdom, obviously, we could talk about for days about how the hell does that game even work. Alan Wake 2, everything that they did with just
really
like,
cool FMV stuff they do in that
exactly,
game.
Exactly, pushing the visuals forward of what games can be. And then Horizon Call of the Mountain, like, you know, for what it is, a beautiful game in VR. And
oh, yeah.
Like, I still haven't played it, but anytime I saw you guys playing out there and see it on TV, I was like, how is this a video game?
Yeah, that was the one thing I called out this morning was the fact that that is one of the best looking VR games I've ever played, right? And it's that thing where it looks like Horizon, right? I feel like I know we say this all the time of like, man, this game makes you feel like Aloy. I felt like I was in that world looking around. Epona. But yeah, you look around, it's like that game is gorgeous when you see the vistas, when you're climbing even higher and you get to see the view. Incredible stuff.
And Final Fantasy 16, the achievement of setting PS5s on fire.
Oh, there you go. There you go. We got game design, Cocoon, Dave the Diver, Dredge, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Marvel Spider-Man 2, and Viewfinder. Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. It's great.
Animation, Alan Wake 2, Hi-Fi Rush, Hogwarts Legacy, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Man, I saw a video yesterday on Twitter of a comparison of Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace on PlayStation 1, but because the PS5 version either came out or is coming out, and it was the PS5 version of that game, and then it cut to Jedi Survivor footage, and it's just freaking hilarious, man.
Incredible.
Jedi Survivor is a wonder that it exists. Like, you're even, like, that is a goddamn Star Wars game, man. A thing of dreams.
Yeah, man. And also, man, Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Yep.
You know, like a case
great
of
animation.
How well how good that art style is really elevates just what 2D Mario, like modern 2D Mario is.
It's a game you can't talk about without talking about the animation.
Exactly. Speaking of which, artistic achievement, they have Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Cocoon, Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 16, and Hi-Fi Rush. For audio achievement, Alan Wake 2, COD Modern Warfare 3, Hi-Fi Rush, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Marvel Spider-Man 2, and Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Fantastic.
Oh, music. We got to talk about music. We have Alan Wake 2, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Baldur's Gate 3, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2, and Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, no FF16.
What's your boy got to do? Again? How did this happen again?
We can't leave.
We really needed to put Assassin's Creed Mirage on there. As someone who is a big Assassin's Creed fan, could not even fucking tell you what the motifs are in Assassin's Creed Mirage outside of the Ezio family song that they use for every fucking game. That's crazy.
No hate on any game here. This is bullshit.
Listen, you know, they're not British. All these other games were made but were worked on by at least one British
person. You're correct. You are correct. You
know? Let's close out. Oh, man, there's some actually pretty good categories. Let's do performer in a supporting role. You have Andrew Wincott in Baldur's Gate 3, Deborah Wilson in Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Ralph Ineson in Final Fantasy 16. I mean, come on. Sam Lake in Alan Wake 2, Tony Todd in Marvel Spider-Man 2, and Tracy Wiles in Baldur's Gate 3. I believe the two Baldur's Gate 3 characters are Carlock. I forget the second one. I forget who the other person is. But yeah, pretty good list, right? Like Ralph Ineson in Final Fantasy 16 is easily my pick. Incredible. But also, you know, shout out to Tony Todd as Venom. Shout out to Sam Lake, who's Sam Lake. You know, like,
oh yeah, dude.
Pretty. I think this last year was a pretty good year just in terms of roles. Like recognizable characters, who it is. Oh man, like these are characters that I either identify with or I can like see when I can remember.
And I think we're going to for a long time. Like when those character names come up, we're not going to be like, who is that again? We're going to know.
Yeah.
Who does Tracy Wiles play again, Bless?
Tracy Wiles. God damn it. Carlock? I said Carlock.
Yeah, you did.
Carlock.
You're on it today with the name for the
Listen, I've been up since 4:45 a.m. What do you want from me?
You discovered a new time today. I get it.
I know, man. I'm not in my universe, by the way. Like, I'm in a different universe than what my normal one is. Leading role, we had Emilia Tyler from Baldur's Gate 3, who I believe was the narrator. Cameron Monaghan, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Najee Jeter, who's Miles in Spider-Man 2. Neil Newbin, who I believe is Asterion in Baldur's Gate 3. Samantha Bayart from Baldur's Gate 3. Who was that, Carlock? Barrett, I'm going to need you to do your Googles. Do your thing, Barrett. And then Yuri Lowenthal, of course, Peter Parker from Marvel Spider-Man 2. Great list. What?
Look at Tim. Look at Tim right now.
What's up? Did I say something? Did I mispronounce somebody's name? Who was it this time?
You didn't do anything wrong.
Here. Okay.
You did nothing
wrong.
What the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Did nobody on the judges panel play Final Fantasy 16?
Me,
but
no
it's
hate
nominated for other
anyone
things.
Here. How did Ben Starr not get nominated for leading role?
I guess Sid was nominated. Yeah. Y'all got three Baldur's Gate 3 people in there. You don't have Ben Starr for Clive.
Jesus.
Oh man.
It's because his name is Clive. It's an anti-Clive agenda going on.
That's fair.
Oh, that's wild. Debut game. We got Cocoon.
Clive
the
versus
Diver.
Chadley.
That's tough. That's a tough one.
If I get a fight, who's winning? I got money on my boy Chadley. That man looks like he's throwing
hands.
Chadley's
a better name, I think. As far as
than Clive?
Yeah.
Like, it's a better joke name for sure. If I meet somebody in real life named Chadley, I'm going, you know, what private
We're making fun of them.
We're making fun of them. I'm sorry.
Like, you know what?
As I'm saying that, I'm sure there's a Chadley listening.
You wouldn't know because they are going to introduce themselves as Chad.
That's fair.
You know?
If somebody told me their name was Chadley, I'm gonna be like, all right, cool. So you're going to school to be a butler? Like, what's the deal here? Like, Chadley? All
I'd
right,
go by
cool.
Lee. You know what I mean? I don't want Chad in my life.
Yeah, Lee would be sick, actually.
Yeah, Lee's pretty cool.
Lee's a pretty cool name. We can stop it there. But yeah, if you want to go over to the BAFTA website to check out the rest of the list of nominees. I love Game Awards season. Just
know,
seeing
man.
What
and I love that it never ends. Here we are in March, still talking about last year's game.
We're already a quarter of the way through 2024, still talking about 2023.
That's great, man.
You gotta
love
what
a year.
You know what else you gotta love? Patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on both outlets, both platforms, you can get the Kinda Funny membership, which allows you to get shows ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the best polarized shades is a breeze. Get ready for a whole new level of clarity with Shady Rays Pro Polarized Lenses. This lens tech is all about tough durability and vibrant colors that pop. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays. Whether it's Tim looking dope during his Pokemon Go walk, Snowbike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that is ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Whether it's friends, partners, or coworkers, I am blessed to have many amazing relationships in my life. But a common misconception about relationships is that they have to be easy to be right. But sometimes the best ones happen when both people put in the work to make them great. Therapy can be a place to work through the challenges you face in all of your relationships, whether it's with friends, work, your significant other, or anyone else. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And we're back with Snow White Mike. And story number three. We got everything announced at the March 2024 Xbox Partner Preview. I'm pulling from Tomas Francis at Digital Trends. I don't know. I just made up that pronunciation. Ooh. I don't know if that's how really you pronounce
that.
The second ever Xbox Partner Preview just took place, and it gave us a deeper look at some of the third-party games coming to Xbox. Let's start off with 11-Bit Studios, who took the stage. It turns out that 11-Bit Studios was the third-party publisher with the strongest showing at this Xbox Partner Preview, as it platformed three of its upcoming games. Most notably, it announced a new Xbox console exclusive called Creatures of Ava. In Creatures of Ava, players save creatures from an infection called The Withering, and then get the help of those creatures to solve puzzles and further explore its fantasy world. It looks like The Legend of Zelda by way of Pokemon, all with non-violent combat that's more focused on healing and restoring infected creatures than hurting them. It launches later this year on Xbox Series X and PC. Then Final Fantasy XIV for Xbox launches this month. In the wake of the release of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Square Enix used this Xbox show to announce the full release of the MMO Final Fantasy XIV on Xbox. It'll exit its beta trial period on March 21st. Persona 3 Reload gets the answer this September. Following a successful launch in February, Persona 3 Reload will receive new DLC called Episode Aegis, The Answer.
I guess.
God damn it. It's fucking 4:40.
That's not on you. That one's not on you.
And you, like, I know where you are in the playthrough. You have not met that character, so.
Carlock. It launches this September and finally brings the answer content from Persona 3 FES to the remake. Before that, a March 12th update will add background music sets based on Persona 5 Royal and Persona 4 Golden, while a May update will introduce costumes and a background music set based on the Velvet Room. All of this is part of the expansion pass for Persona 3 Reload. And then Kunitsu Gami, Path of the Goddess, gets a gameplay overview. Capcom's Kunitsu Gami, Path of the Goddess, showed off a striking sense of style when it was first teased last year, but we now have a better idea of how the game will actually play. In the trailer, we see that during the day, players are tasked with guiding a maiden and clearing its fantasy world of defilement to collect resources. They must then make the tower defense game style preparations before nighttime, with resources used to fend off hordes of enemies. Although players actively are fighting enemies on their own, it's possible to command other units to help deal with the threats. Kunitsu Gami Path of the Goddess launches later this year. As far as everything else that was shown off, we had Unknown 9 Awakening gameplay, which was revealed by Bandai Namco, and it was confirmed for launch on Xbox this summer. Stealth Sim, Sleight of the Hand, was revealed with a cinematic trailer. Roblox horror game, Griefville, Survive the Nightmares, crossing over with Chucky.
Finally.
Yeah, it's
happening. Insane. Frogwares announced the Sinking City 2, which releases in 2025. Stalker Legends of the Zone trilogy launches today. Monster Jam Showdown was announced, with Roger McCorney was getting hyped about that one. The first Berserker, Kazan, got a new trailer. And then Tales of Kinzera, Zao, highlighted his combat and traversal mechanics in a new trailer narrated by Abubakar Salim.
Hell yeah.
There's a lot there. A
lot.
Mike,
you did a good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You live reacted to it yesterday with the Kinda Funny X-Cast. Mm-hmm. What was the overall tone coming out of it? Were people pleasantly surprised?
Yeah. From everything that I saw and our impressions from me and Paris was very positive, right? I think Xbox is doing a very good job with these presentations to kick off the new year, right? We've had a lot of bad in the Xbox world to start off 2024, but you've had some good. Developer underscore Direct was a big hit. Then you move into this, the third-party partner preview. Love that, right? Where you get to see games that are coming to your ecosystem that might not be your first-party normal titles that you know about. And I think there was a really good, kind of like wide breadth of games that you got to saw that you got to see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the big ones that stood out to us were The Alters. I don't know if you brought that
one
up.
Yeah, that's one that I missed out on.
Was definitely one that everyone should circle, highlight, and look up. This game has got a very interesting kind of premise to it that you haven't really seen before, and I think it's really fun. Of this guy's out there in space, and he has the opportunity to clone himself, but every clone that you make of yourself will have a different memory and a different decision that you made in your life. So if you dropped out of school, that clone will be the one that goes to school, maybe, and he has different goals and like different mindset than you do. The next one might have fought a little bit harder in your marriage and kept the marriage going, as opposed to you that didn't, right? And so the clones all will help you build out this central base, it looks like, but each one will kind of have its own personality and mindset, and maybe there'll be some clashing during this. But it had very much Returnal, like mysterious space vibes to it. It had a very cool like Fallout shelter looking base building inside of this weird spaceship. But if there's a game that you should highlight and look up, it is The Alters. This was the show stealer.
This space station looks a little bit like Prey to me as well.
Definitely. A lot of Prey vibes.
Yes. And so we really liked that. We liked the overall tone of the vibe, right? Like, this was 30 minutes, 14 trailers, right to the point. No Sarah Bond, no Phil Spencer, no Matt Booty. We have one, just one voiceover, not really who jumping in that.
Was but Oliver Nelson was doing that.
I was going to say it was the gentleman who made El Paso elsewhere, but very good all around. This was a tight presentation, gave you 14 games. Like I brought up, The Alters was a big one. Final Fantasy getting the full 1.0 release date is a big deal for Xbox fans. That's a big MMO coming your way. Sleight of Hand looks cool with the tone and the idea of it. We did not see any gameplay for this, but I did like the overall message of this.
It's kind of cool.
Third person stealth with like kind of a card based mechanic here. Oh, you saw a lot of cards in this, so keep an eye out for that one. The Creatures of Ava was cute, right? It's a creature collector game, so if you're interested in that kind of vibes, I think that's going to go well.
I on paper, it sounds up my alley, right? Yes. Then talking about Zelda, like Legend of Zelda by way of like Pokemon, I'm like, that sounds so like my shit. But then looking at the actual trailer of it, I don't like how those creatures look.
Yeah,
I don't like the creatures.
I think that's for a different audience than you and I, but I think it speaks to people. I think that's the big message of this. 14 different trailers that are going to speak to a large ecosystem. Not everything is tailored to you. We've talked about this many of times, from PlayStation State of Plays to Xbox Summer Showcases. Is they're going to show a lot because they have a lot of games, and some of them aren't going to speak to you, but there's for a different audience. Perfect example is the Roblox one, right? We get to see a Roblox add-on game being showcased at a mega kind of presentation. I don't think we've seen that yet to this date, and I thought that was really cool, right? Roblox, whether you play it or not, is one of the most played video games on the planet. To be showcased in a partner preview with a mini game within that, pretty wild to me. I thought that was pretty rad. And rounding it out, you talked about Persona 3 and the special expansion pass. Mm-hmm. A big reminder is that is included on Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Mm-hmm. A lot of the DLC and expansions for certain first-party games aren't tied to your Xbox Game Pass kind of list there. Mm-hmm. So always remember to look that up, but it is going to be included on your perks. So if you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you get all three of those.
Question about the Persona stuff. Barrett, I remember when Persona 3 Reload was announced, there was a lot of like, oh man, it's not the right version of this game. It's not the full version of this game. Is this DLC remedying that?
So, in the past, Tim, so there's Persona 3, which was just the base game. That's the remake that came out a month ago, right? There's Persona 3 Fez, which acted like a Persona 4 Golden or Persona 5 Royal, where they updated some mechanic things, I think. And then there was a like new story chunk that acted as an epilogue. Then there was Persona 3 Portable, where that was on the PSP, where you could play through the normal game with the main character, but then they added a female version of the main character, which kind of mixed some social links, some friendships, some story beats, all that stuff. And so when the remake got announced, people were disappointed in the 1-2 punch of no addition of The Answer, which was the added story stuff from Persona 3 Fez, and no FemC from Persona 3 Portable. So this is like the one step I think that they realistically can make for Persona 3 remake, which is adding the added story stuff from Persona 3 Fez. It is a hotly contested piece of content. Mm. Very divisive. Not very divisive. A lot of people have just been coming out very brave takes of it wasn't very good, which honestly, like, it as like a added thing, yeah, it's very monotonous, it's very tedious, it's not fun to play. Story-wise, I think it's great. Story-wise, I think it is like a really good piece of like epilogue for the main story, and like kind of unpacking how all of these characters feel after the main events of Persona 3. And with the gameplay updates that they already made with Persona 3 Reload, like, I think I could see this kind of being like the version to play of The Answer. The thing that's still missing and will probably never happen is FemC is playing her route and having all the remixed social links and all that stuff. And that's just because that is a huge undertaking. That's like, that's a full other remake, essentially. Mm. So I would not hold my breath anybody out there for a FemC drop at any point. I feel like this is probably their post-launch plan and that's it, which is a kind of, at least outside of the background music and costume stuff, which is I've always found kind of stupid and don't waste your money on that shit. But like adding this, The Answer as like post-launch DLC rather than coming out with a full different SKU, I do think is kind of new for Persona, at least in my understanding. So it would have been nice if this launched with The Answer. It's not as bad as it could have been of like, all right, let's make a Persona 3 Reload blue different SKU that also now has The Answer.
I feel like at that point it's like you're doing too much. You know, like that's the expectation with Persona, right? Where Persona 5 comes out, we're probably gonna get like an ultimate version, and then you get Persona 5 Royal. That's what they do with these things. But Persona 3 Reload being another version of Persona 3, and then them going, all right, now let's make another version. Like, that feels like it's you're stretching it.
And so I'm excited for it. My critiques of The Answer are critiques of what The Answer was 18 years ago. I imagine it's not going to be nearly as long with like the updates that were already given to Persona 3 Reload. So if you're new to Persona 3, I would still highly recommend checking it out if you've been enjoying Persona 3. I think it makes sense to kind of launch this not at the same time as the main game, because it is an epilogue. It is taking place after the events of the main game. So,
One that I want to highlight here is Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess. That was the Capcom game that we got the reveal of last year.
During the worst showcase we've ever seen.
Yeah, wait, which showcase? Oh, was that during the Capcom showcase?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a weird one. Because, yeah, like, this is a game that when they revealed it, I think we're all like, what is this? Like, is it a strategy game? Is it an action game? This looks like something we've not seen before. We saw more. This is like one of the few trailers I actually took the time to check out and watch the full thing, because this is one that I'm fascinated about. And it still continues to look like a weird, different thing, but in a way that I appreciate.
Me too. Yeah. No, seeing this here, it's like, oh, this kind of answers questions that we had that first time. And I was like, oh, this actually is not the most interesting thing, but it is interesting. I feel like that's like knowing the pedigree that Capcom has of like, cool, tower defense stuff of preparing, and then at night actually doing the more action Capcom-y battles. Yeah. That's a cool
it's
idea.
Fascinating in a way that, you know, I think I mentioned this on Monday when I was doing the show with Roger that, you know, I was doing a stream and I was talking about Capcom and I was talking about, like, you know, I was adding in Resident Evil 2 Remake to, like, my top 100 games. And I think I was adding Street Fighter 6 as well. And I was just talking about Capcom, right? And, like, one of the things it brought up was, like, yeah, like, what misses has Capcom had recently? There, people brought up Exo Primal. And I'm like, man, if Exo Primal is, like, one of your misses, you're doing pretty good. Because Exo Primal, I thought was pretty fun. And, like, at the worst, that game is fine. That game is, like, fine to forgettable, right? But it's not bad. Like, that's still somewhat of a quality game, depending on who you are. For Capcom to go, all right, we got our wins with things like Resident Evil, things like Street Fighter. You know, you look at the last 5 years of Capcom, and they've been killing it. To then take a sidestep and go, hey, let's make something weirder, right? Like, I like that. You know, I think for me, I am almost more interested in this than if Capcom were to do another Resident Evil remake. Like, we've gotten so many of those.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Kunio Tsugami Path of the Goddess to see, like, all right, this is different.
What you got?
Is it going to hit? Because if it does hit, guess what? We got something cool and different. Like, we have something great and different. I think that for me, that sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
And it's on Game Pass. Love that game.
Very cool.
So all in all, a really good time. 30 minutes, 14 trailers, a lot of games for you to check out. First Berserker put on your list as well. I think you and Andy, that's right up your lane. It's more of a Dark Souls-y vibe with a very cool art style. Going to be right up your lane for you guys.
Can you bring him a trailer for the First Berserker?
That's all I got for you from the Xbox thing. It was an all-around good time. If you want to learn more about Tales of Kenzera, myself and Paris had a very good developer interview.
Love it.
Oh, this looks cool. Yeah, it has more of an animated art style to it, but yeah,
I like the red against the white.
Very cool. It's like a snowy setting, but yeah, you have like the red of the blood. Oh yeah, opening a big door. That's very Souls.
Someone in the chat was saying that the game was first shown at the Xbox showcase last year.
Remember
what that was, the one that because of the flight delays we missed the Xbox showcase.
And then
we watched the Capcom thing right after, and they showed the game again. So it was like both of them, and there was that weird extended cut where it's like the camera was like zooming in weirdly. Yeah. It's like, what's going on here?
Remember when they delayed Pragmata during that showcase?
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude.
Sorry.
In the most bizarre way ever.
Sorry.
When did they delay it to? Was it this year? Did they have like a new year?
It was like they crossed out 2023 and then just had a question mark and then a frowny face and then sorry.
Insane.
Also, Chad, I'm pretty sure this isn't connected, but this isn't connected to Berserk, right?
What? Pragmata?
No,
oh, no, you're talking about this. No, yeah. I don't think it is.
This looks fucking cool. This does look as cool, though. Hell, what is this?
Yeah, who makes this? Berserker Kazan. We're going to Google this shit. While I do, though, Tim, we just talked about a lot of big old news.
We did.
But if I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
That's right. It's time for our final news story.
I can read these for
you. Story number four. Oh, no, I got it. I got everything opened here. So the first Berserker Kazan comes from publisher Nexon, the same indie publisher that put out Dave the Diver. The first Berserker Kazan is a hardcore action role-playing game. The player will become Kazan, the great general of the Pell Wolf.
You're such
Empire.
A fuck. You're such a fuck. Make it the joke, a great joke. Then you go and you laugh at yourself words later.
I'm fucking hilarious. it's being developed by Neopol. Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't know where this came from, but it looks awesome. Go get him.
Go get them.
Wii News for you. Let's start off with Unicorn Overlord reviews. They are out. It is sitting on Metacritic at an 88. VG247 gave it 4 out of 5 stars. IGN gave it 9 out of 10 and says Unicorn Overlord is a visual delight that's brimming with creativity and an absolute must play for any fan of strategy RPGs. Arrowhead Game Studios has announced Helldivers 2's latest Warbond. Warbond Cutting Edge will launch for PS5 and PC on March 14th. Helldivers 2 is also seemingly locking the release of Mechs Behind the Liberation of a Planet. Head to IGN for more on that. Focus Entertainment will rename itself to Pull Up Entertainment as of April 1st. Pull Up Entertainment.
Focus is a better name, though.
Yeah, like Focus. Yeah, Focus is a pretty good name. I wonder if that's like a merger or like acquisition type thing, or why would you change it?
I mean, pull-ups are impressive.
It's also April 1st. Maybe it's a joke.
Fly on.
Maybe we get a trailer that day. Some CEO doing pull-ups. He's trying to show his gains. Pull-up will split into 3 divisions. They'll have their publishing division. We'll have Dotemu, which will publish indie titles, and then they'll have development with internal studios like Dovetail Games or Deck 13. Next up, Princess Peach Showtime has a demo that's out now on Switch. Spider-Man 2's New Game Plus is now live. Next week's Epic Game Store free games have been announced. They'll be free to claim from March 14th to the 21st. You'll have Deus Ex Mankind Divided, and then The Bridge. I don't know what The Bridge is, but Deus Ex, sick. Play Deus Ex. And then last up for you, Overwatch 2 is crossing over with Cowboy Bebop on March 12th.
So interesting.
There's a video for this one, and it is fascinating because, you know, I'm not against it. Both very cool things. Yeah. I love Overwatching. I know so many people that love Cowboy Bebop. This is awesome. But why?
Wait, did you not watch Cowboy Bebop, Les?
No, I didn't watch Cowboy
Bebop.
You would
love Cowboy Bebop.
Dude, I probably would.
Specifically, yeah. Would love Cowboy Bebop.
I missed out on it back in the day.
Here's the thing.
26 Les, episodes.
Did I watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. You know, like, the joke when Persona 5 like came out is that, like, they just kind of took the style and the music and all that stuff from Cowboy Bebop.
I do like that style from Persona 5. Yeah, and honestly, every scene I see from Cowboy Bebop, I'm like, this looks cool. This looks awesome. I do think it would be my shit, but I've just not gotten around to it. You said it's only 26 episodes?
Yeah, it's super short.
Oh, snap.
It might even be less than that. It might be like 23 or something like that.
Maybe I'll do it.
And they're 20-minute episodes.
Yeah, maybe I'll do it. Yeah, I'm gonna find one of these weekends. Maybe when I'm done with Shogun. What a show. That's it for Wii News. This is one of these I wanted to comment on. Oh, Unicorn Overlord. You can cut the music, Barrett. You know, we can't have too much of a good thing. Unicorn Overlord was one that, like, so none of us here have deep impressions. You know, talking to Barrett and Greg, I think all of us had the same thing where we played the first hour or so and we're just like, oh, this game seems really good, but it's not our thing.
Yeah.
You know, even for me as somebody who, you know, I like Vanillaware. I know Greg also loves Vanillaware. I like Unicorn Overlord, I like 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim. As I started playing Unicorn Overlord, I had the thing where I was like, oh, this isn't the same setting. Like, the setting was such a big part of why I liked 13 Sentinels. It was sci-fi, it was mechs, it was school, it was, like, a lot of, like, modernized stuff, whereas Unicorn Overlord is such a fantasy strategy RPG, and I am not a fantasy strategy RPG person.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of, like, I wanted to check it out, especially because I had drafted it for the Fantasy Critic as well. And, yeah, after, like, even before, like, I was done with my first hour. I just, my eyes really started to glaze over. I'm stoked for the people who played it for review and loved it. I'm stoked for the people who are anticipating this because it seems like a great game. But yeah, not my alley.
Yeah,
we got some super chats. Plus,
we do have some super chats. Gonzu says, "New game plus Spider-Man. Let's go."
You interested in popping in at all?
No, not
yeah.
at all.
Like, yeah. Looking at the things being added, I'm like, I don't think there's anything here that like. Is enticing to me.
Yeah, let personally. Me open up the list because I saw they're adding new
if
costumes.
It was four months
cool.
ago, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, new game plus game ultimate. What's an ultimate level? Ultimate levels.
Probably like difficulty.
It's like new difficulty. Gold gadgets. It's a gold gadget. Mission replay. Let's go. That's awesome. You can change the time of day. Hellfire gala suits. Oh, the Hellfire gala suits is actually pretty nice. Oh, yeah. I wish they had that at launch, though. Like, I totally would have played the entire game rocking the Miles Morales Hellfire gala suit. Ultimate levels go beyond the base game level cap in NG Plus. There you go. Action figure mode, and then they have audio descriptions for accessibility. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. It's that thing where I'm like, I wish this would drop with like maybe a new mission type, like a new mission. Like if there was any new content, I would get back in there. But I don't feel like going back just to like redo the same stuff I've already done.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Let's see. Zero Swift says, "Hey guys, was just wondering if there was any update on the Kind of Funny up and comer opportunity for 2024. Love what y'all do." Heart emoji.
No update yet, but Joey and I talk about it very often, and we're working on stuff, and it will happen this year.
CJ Splitson says, "Insomniac, let us throw out Miles' toothpaste suit." I don't know what that means.
His final suit in the game.
Oh.
People don't like.
Where do you stand on that suit?
Spider-Man have so many suits. I'm not going to love them all. Is it my favorite suit? No. Do I think people are hating on it way too much? Yes.
People went real hard on that suit. And like, I get it. I'm not in love with it either. Like, I would just prefer his classic.
It is one of my least favorite Miles suits I've seen.
Here's the thing. It's a bad design. And they try to make it a story moment without it being earned whatsoever.
Yeah. And I also don't think it makes sense because didn't Miles make his suit like that he already has? Because the story beat was that he was like, I gotta make my own.
I gotta do it on my own way.
I gotta do like my own original thing. And I'm like, didn't you make your suit?
It was also just like a weird moment in the game for him to have that story be. I don't know, man.
I mean, it was all very, also very obviously like an Adidas like tie-in to have it like match with the shoes, which I get. Listen,
I'm all about.
If that worked, that would be fucking sick. You know, like if the suit looked sick as hell and you had that tie-in with the Adidas, that would be fucking awesome. But I think it's the fact that the suit doesn't look sick as hell. So now the Adidas sponsorship or whatever that thing is, right?
You're the tie-in.
Yeah, it kind of compounds it. Yeah. Where it's like, really? Okay, well, this is now lame. We got one more super chat here. Joey Radstone says FF7 Rebirth is so much more horny than Remake. Thanks for paying us money to say that.
That's facts, bro. Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth is the horniest thing I think I've ever experienced.
No way.
Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth.
Rebirth?
Yeah.
Oh, you've not experienced enough horny. I got some games for you.
Sorry. It's the horniest thing that's not actively supposed to be horny. You get what I'm saying?
It's a horny game without being a hentai game, Bliss.
Yeah, like what would you say is hornier than Final Fantasy?
Let me tell you about this game called Unicorn Overlord.
Yeah,
this girl's wearing a.
See, that's different. Though.
She's wearing a fucking turtleneck, and the titties are still popping out. That thing. And I'm not joking.
It's like, wild. It's that's fucking not a wild, joke. Dude.
Literally, she's wearing
she's
a turtleneck.
Got like a corset thing that's supposed to go over the sweater, but no, those titties are titty.
Yeah,
it's fucking
in
wild.
A turtleneck.
That's so like, fucking crazy. Funny.
People in chat are saying Baldur's Gate. Yeah, I
guess. Better said saying Fire Emblem Fates. I mean, there's.
I think, like, horny. Like, in what way is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth horny? Just that, like,
that
there's tension.
At any point, any character might want to fuck each other. Any combination, dude. How are you going to tell me the opening scene of Sephiroth and Cloud, bro?
Let me tell you about Baldur's
Gate.
When
he calls him a puppy?
I mean, but like that's not horny.
When he says you're panting?
That's just.
That's not horny?
That's chemistry. This is them getting along. You never gotten along with somebody before. Play some Baldur's Gate 3, because in there, like, not only is it like that, but they actually do fuck. Like, that's like, it's like there, it's like, okay, there's some tension here, but then they take it all the way.
That,
and
I guess that's my thing. Is like, I'm when I say horny, I mean not you're not following through with the fucking. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like horny is like, it's the energy of a 13-year-old boy. You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
Like walking into a store where there's porn, like a Playboy's there, and you're pretending you're not looking at it, but you're fucking looking at it, and everyone knows you're looking at it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. That's been Final Fantasy VII.
Fair enough. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. You're writing a list of what we got wrong as you got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Let's see here.
Yeah, someone in the chat said it's the energy of a middle school dance. That's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, bro. Plus, okay, you ever hear about freak dancing?
What's freak dancing? Is that like grinding?
You don't, yeah.
Oh yeah, I think in like Illinois it would be called like juking.
Sick.
Yeah, juking. Yeah, what a time.
Freak dancing here at the Bay Area.
Freak dancing. Like y'all don't even try to hide it.
Be freaking.
God damn.
Oh yeah.
Tundra Boy says the Pragmata delay trailer was at the Capcom showcase, not the Xbox showcase. I don't think we got that wrong. I think the mix-up is we're talking about Path of the Goddess. Tim first said Path of the Goddess appeared at Capcom. It appeared at Xbox, but also it was at Capcom.
Yeah, technically they're right, though. It was first at Xbox. It was the same day.
But yeah, we all know the Pragmata delay was at Capcom. And then... read the Pragmata delay. The year crossed out to a frowny face was when Capcom delayed it from 2022 to 2023. The most recent delay from 2023 to who knows when was via a message in the trailer shown in last year's Capcom showcase. No window this time. I would swear that had a frowny face to it, though. I'm like 95% sure there was a frowny face involved. Because like I remember laughing and be like, what the fuck?
Fucking Mandela effect.
And then, I mean, I'm not in my universe anymore, like Greg.
Yeah.
And then, let's see. This is a tweet. I'm gonna look at the tweet reference. See, that's the thing. Oh, yeah. But that was 2022. No, this is from last year. Yeah, because it went from 2022 to 2023, and then they added the question mark with a very sawy, and then two
very sawy.
They have multiple frowny faces, and one of the faces has tears coming out. What are you doing over there?
This has got to be the best way to announce.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. I think you know what it is. I think Capcom hasn't had an L in a minute, so they just forgot how to like deal with the L's.
Ah, shit, what do we do?
They're like, oh shit, we made a mistake. What do we do? That's put so out a fucking note. That's frowny faces.
Solly.
I'm
googling Unicorn Overlord for no reason.
You know, for no reason.
Been there. Steven says, or not Steven, somebody writes in and says, content around WB live service game statement. And then it's a tweet from Steven Totillo who says, you may have seen that a WB Discovery executive said they want more live service games. I'm sure they do. But context may also help. This was at a Morgan Stanley conference where, oh, we talked about this, where we execs hype investors. Gaming is such an afterthought. Yeah, I think this lines up exactly with what we said.
Yeah.
But cool. Wait, did you find some overlooked stuff?
Yeah.
You see the turtleneck?
I saw the turtleneck.
Insane.
Yep.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
It's meant to keep you warm, you know?
It looks warm.
That's it for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, which means it's also it for Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Wow. We did it, everybody.
We did it. We made it. Each and every weekday. Here, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free. Watch, support them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, Game Daily.